greet each of you in Jesus' name this evening. What a special service we have ahead of us or involved in at the moment. As I thought about this service tonight, my mind kept going to a phrase in the Bible about Jesus being the author and the finisher of our faith. And I've titled my message tonight, Baptized Unto Our Author and Finisher. We think of this service as sort of a rite or an initiation service. These four young people are selling themselves out to a cause that they believe in. They have faith in this cause. And they're willing to do something to belong to this cause because they believe there's going to be reward in being a part of this cause. I was recently in the presence of a big brother telling a story that happened long, long ago. And his younger brother was in his presence as he was telling the story. And he told about the time that he asked his two younger brothers if they wanted to be a part of his club. The youngest brother was not so sure that he wanted to be a part of his big brother's club, but the second youngest one was excited and glad to be a part of Big Brother's club. And Big Brother says, well, there's some things you're going to have to do to be a part of my club. And little brother said, well, what do I need to do? He said, you're going to have to do some stuff. He says, here, eat this leaf. So brother munched on the leaf and got about half of it down, and big brother said, okay, that's fine, good enough. Little brother says, what else must I do? And he said, well, do this jig or this dance. And little brother did the jig and the dance. Said, okay, what else must I do? And he said, go to that tree. He said, I pointed to a tree about 50 feet away, and I said, bang your head on that tree that loud enough that I can hear it here. And brother dutifully went and banged his head on the tree and said, could you hear it? He said, no, I couldn't hear anything. And he banged harder. He said, could you hear it? No, I can't hear anything. After a while, he said, yeah, okay, that's all right. Little brother comes back and says, what's next? He says, I don't want to play club anymore. Let's quit. He was the author of a plan. He was the author of something that held promise. And little brother was willing to go through a lot of pain to be a part of his club, only to find out that he was not going to be a finisher. It almost seemed to me, as I heard him recounting the story, that it just sort of evolved as he went. He didn't really have a plan. But tonight we are part of a service where God had a plan through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ went through with the plan for us because he knew there's going to be services like this where we're going to have faith. We're going to have faith. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's not going to start something. He's not going to make you go through some hard experiences and say, okay, there's really nothing to this after all. That's not the author that he is. He's a finisher. I'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and read verses 1 and 2, where this is in writing for our benefit, for our encouragement. The solemn promises that you are about to make requires faith. It requires faith. But I'm so glad tonight that you are putting your faith. And all of us who have made the same promises as these young people did have put our faith in Jesus, who is not only going to be a starter, but a finisher. He will help us to the end. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, wherefore, Seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. These four young people did nothing to become a part of their physical family. They couldn't choose who they wanted for their mom and dad. God gifted each of you with a family, with a home, and said, this is your mother, this is your dad, these are your siblings. You are part of the family. But tonight, you are choosing to belong to a family. The spiritual family. The family of God. You are choosing to say, I don't want to live in Satan's family. I want to live in God's family, and I'm going to live in God's family. I want to live in God's family. And God said, okay, there are some things you got to do. There's some stuff you got to do. First of all, you got to repent and you got to be sorry for your sins. And as Brendel said, baptism is another part of obedience, to be a part of this spiritual family. This service tonight is a memorial that you are a part of the family of God. I don't know if anyone is like me or not. Sometimes when I'm in the middle of something, I ask myself a question, why am I doing this? Sometimes it's a playful question, but sometimes it's a searching question because something isn't working out the way I thought it would when I made my decision. Usually there was a price that I was paying that I didn't expect to pay for the benefits. And we ask the why are we doing this question. As I thought about this service, that question went through my mind. Why are we doing this? Why do we get together and have a special service and pour water on top of our heads and get a little wet and maybe the carpet gets a little wet? Why do we have such an ordeal to be a part of the church at Elm Street, the Church of Jesus Christ? Why don't we treat this like we do so many other decisions where you just sign your name on a piece of paper and if it's important enough, maybe have somebody witness it? Why don't we treat it like a transaction that we're accustomed to? Sometimes when we start a new job or take on some new responsibility, we have what is called orientation. And as I thought about this service tonight, is this an orientation? Well, not really. It has some orienting aspects, but it's not really an orientation. We had instruction class. We sat together night after night. That is when we were getting our orientation, when we were trying to understand what this service tonight is really going to mean and what we're going to be committing to. Is this moment a salvation experience? Is it a salvation experience? Up to this point, you were just sort of saved, but now you're going to be really saved. Well, obedience is part of salvation. But tonight, if you came as a sinner, you will leave as a sinner. Repentance has to precede this moment. Pouring water in and of itself does not save. We believe that what we're going to witness tonight, the water going on your head, is an outward sign of something that has already happened in your heart. And you are now just making a public declaration that you are a part of the spiritual family of God because of your faith in Jesus. He authored that faith. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, he spoke to you, and he's going to be the finisher of your faith. As long as you stay true to him, he will be true to you. I have 3 points. Why are we doing this? The first point I have, we are giving recognition to the greatest life change and belonging to the greatest cause on this side of eternity. There is no other service more important than this service. To become a part of the family of God and an earthly family of God, there's nothing more important than that. What more could we ever want to belong to? The kingdom of God. The kingdom that is going to keep on going when all these kingdoms of earth collapse. What more would we ever want to belong to? What a privilege. Oh, you might make some other important decisions in life that have far-reaching consequences. I was at two weddings the last two Saturdays, and I have another one this Saturday. Serious questions that are answered, serious commitments that are made. They make promises that they don't know for sure what it's going to cost to carry out the vows that they make before God and to each other. They don't really understand the reality of the commitment. It's something that they will discover as life goes on and what their journey holds for them. The reach and the significance of this service tonight, none of us understand. We can't see the future. We don't know what all lies ahead. It's beyond our ability to grasp. It's a step of faith. It's a step of faith for us to make a commitment till death to the Church of Jesus Christ. But you, through faith, are going to say, I want to belong. I want to totally belong. And Jesus is going to become your big brother. And he is going to be with you, the whole way. And he's not going to say, I don't want to play anymore after all. I'm sorry you went through all this. I'm not playing anymore. He's not going to say that. He says, I will finish your faith. When your faith gets weak, I will be there for you. I made up this plan, and I'm going to help you finish the plan. If you put my hand in your hand, we will finish the plan. This is why I came. This is why I endured the cross. I want to see you to the finish line. I want to see you break through into the kingdom of heaven and the heavenly realities. Baptism is a laying down of self and a following after God that puts us on a somewhat uncharted course, a custom-tailored course that only God knows all the ins and the outs and the ups and the downs. The significance of baptism is beyond a mere association with people that we can touch and see, but it is an association with a kingdom. And barring Bible language, it's associating with a kingdom that the world doesn't understand. The Bible says it's like wind. Living in this kingdom, we sort of live like wind. The world can see something happening, but they don't understand the dynamic behind it. It's a mysterious kingdom. And you're becoming one in this mysterious kingdom tonight. To walk with the brothers and sisters at Elm Street and present Jesus to the world in a way that catches their attention and draws their minds to God. The Bible gives us a graphic word picture of what baptism looks like in ways that we can maybe wrap our mind around it a little bit. Because in our finite minds, it's just sort of hard to come here and say, yeah, we're committing to this God that we can't really touch, can't really feel, can't see. I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians 9, where we have a picture of what baptism looks like in shoe leather. This is a story, And the picture that it gives is a picture of Moses taking the children of Israel from a place of bondage through some scary experiences on a pilgrimage that they just went one day at a time and observed God's movings and waited on God, fully obedient to the cloud of God's presence. And I like to read what it says here, 1 Corinthians 9. Let's start at verse 24. It says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every one that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore run, so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, how that all of our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Excuse me. My second point, we are declaring our faith is the greatest institution. I'm sorry, we are declaring our faith in the greatest institution that we could ever trust our life to. Tonight you're becoming part of the Church of Jesus Christ, a physical body and a spiritual body. Tonight you will be declared a part of the Elm Street Mennonite Church. The Elm Street Church will, in a sense, become your Moses under God's authority. It says that Israel was baptized unto Moses. Moses became their link between God's will for them and the journey that was ahead. Moses didn't know the pathway. He didn't know the exact departure times until God told him, or the food stops or the grazing grounds. He didn't have a satellite connection or some GPS map to know exactly where the hotels were and the motels and everything to just make this trip hold out perfectly. Moses was going one day at a time on a journey with God, and they were baptized unto Moses, it says, in the cloud and in the sea. They were baptized unto Moses. There was a defining time when going back was going to be really, really difficult if they wanted to go back. And Moses became their authority under God's authority, their commander-in-chief. With God ultimately being the leader. Tonight we are baptizing these young people into the visible Church of Jesus Christ. They are not committing their life to this particular church family indefinitely. Oh, I'd be happy if Elm Street was your family for life. I would be very excited about that. But maybe there'll be circumstances. Maybe you'll marry someone and you'll end up not being a part of Elm Street at some point. Maybe you'll be called to mission work. Only God knows the plans that He has for you. But you are saying tonight that you are willing to bring yourself into under the authority of a visible church. A visible church. To be your spiritual head. To guide you on your journey. A spiritual body of believers that you are going to allow to become an authority in your life alongside of your parents. Tonight, the church, the body of believers, is to become an under-shepherd and become a spiritual compass to you as you grow and mature in Jesus Christ. The decision there when they were baptized unto Moses was a decision of no return, really. Oh, after they realized the cost, there were times that they talked about going back. But to go back would not have given them the benefits of going forward. I don't think if they would have went back, the sea would have miraculously departed and they could have taken the same path back. They would have had to go through the desert and all the things that are in the desert, the hardships of desert life. They would have had to go on their own or a very small group. The dangers of the wilderness would have been their own to conquer and tackle. Some lessons we see for us in this word picture. Baptism into a body of believers brings authority into our life. They were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Baptism into a body of believers has a unified practice. It says they did all eat the same spiritual meat. Their life became a daily shared experience that had accountability. And when Achan transgressed, there was a group of people around them operating under God's authority to deal with the sin in his life. They did all drink of the same spiritual drink, for they drank from that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. The body of believers is a place of solids and liquids, various ways to nourish all age levels, and all people coming at various stages of life into the family of God. I would like to believe that very possible. I said we had a time of orientation, a time of instruction. But there's probably a lot was said there that sort of went over your head. But as you're on this journey, the Holy Spirit is going to teach you through the family at Elm Street, new things and greater things than where you're at this point. You're going to grow in Christ. Jesus will not just be an author of your faith, but he will help you be a finisher, a triumphant finisher. Third and last point, we are baptized into a journey that God will be along with us if we stay in his will, no matter how difficult it may be. At some moments. Sadly, Moses was an author of faith. No, he did not in the sense that he wrote the script and made up the plan, but he inspired them. He was God's agent. He was the one that said, let's get going, and brought those miracles and got them prepared for the Exodus. But he was not the finisher of their faith. Sadly, he was not the finisher of their faith. Because he left his frustrations with the journey and with the people and their complaining and their disappointments, he left that impact him and his leadership. And God appointed another finisher. The vows that you will make tonight, they extend beyond anyone's ability to stay true to on our own strength. We all will be prone to be like those children of Israel at times. And there might be temptations to, as we face peer pressure, maybe we get disappointed with our parents' directives at times, and we get impatient with God at times, and we feel like we hardly have enough of faith to stay on the journey. Hardly have enough of faith to please God on our own strength. But my Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. I just never knew how hard faith would be at times. I had no clue. But I do have a promise, and I'm holding on to that promise that Jesus knew all about my journey and its pathways and its meanderings. And he will help me be a finisher as long as I have grain, the Bible says, as a mustard seed. He can make it grow as long as we have all the faith we can give. Jesus says, I'll help you finish your faith if you stay on the journey. I'll help you finish it. I'll help that faith to grow. Your faith is feeling really small right now, but I'll help it to grow. Just bring what faith you have. We are not offered the particulars of a custom-tailored journey that we sign on the dotted line to these exact particulars tonight. You're not bargaining with God tonight and saying, well, I'll be baptized if. If you don't ask this of me, God, if you don't ask that of me, I'll be baptized if. You are saying that I'm all yours, God. I'm all yours. And you can say that because there's a big brother going to be with you. He is going to be faithful. He authored this whole plan. He was part of your creation. He was part of bringing you into this world. And he's going to go with you the whole way to the end. He is going to help you finish. The children of Israel didn't know what stepping into that water and being baptized under Moses would really mean. They didn't know. They had no clue that they would get terribly thirsty and there wouldn't be water around. They didn't know how hungry and how weary they would be, or how they loathed the familiar food that they wanted variety. They didn't understand that that would be what would happen, or that the rigors of Egypt and slavery would take the back seat in their memory because what they were facing at the moment seemed harder than that. And that they would want the leeks and the garlics and the onions and those things that they had back in Egypt, that would actually be attractive to them. They didn't see that, I don't think, when they were baptized under Moses, when they said, we're going with you, Moses. They didn't see all that. Their story is written for our example. There may be times that these young people will know in their heart that Christ and being a part of Christ's kingdom is the best place in life that they could be. And allowing God to direct them one day at a time is the best way to live. Living in obedience to a body of believers in the church is the best way, and it's a secure way of navigating life. But their heart and their head might have difficulty connecting at times. Their head might want to tell them something different. Their head might want to tell them that this way is too hard. This way I can't hardly make it. I don't know if I'll be able to do that. Their head might want to say, I want to go back. I remember some pleasurable things back here. And Jesus is going to say, hey, give me what faith you have. I'll go with you. Keep on going. Take another step. Don't go back to Egypt. You're forgetting some things back there. Don't go back there. It says in verse 5, with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things are written for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. And I like the word picture, as I didn't realize the word picture that's here. Back in chapter 9, verse 26, where he says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I. Not as one that beateth the air. He was not saying this Christian life is always easy. He said he's fighting. But he said, I'm not running and I'm not fighting like someone that is just beating the air. He wasn't aimless and uncertain and unsure about his cause. The people baptized under Moses had one objective. They wanted to get away from the slavery of Egypt. And they wanted to go to this land that flowed with milk and honey, this wonderful place called Canaan, that God supposedly had ready for them and waiting for them. That was their objective. And the writer here says, We're not in an air fight with no objective. That's not who we are. I could stand up here and I could do boxing maneuvers and I could really pretend I would be beating the air. I would entertain you, but that's all that would happen. Well, maybe I'd get a little exercise beside, but it'd be a futile mission. Paul says, I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. He realized that for him to be a victorious child of God and finish with Jesus, he had to keep under. And that keep under in Strong's is what surprised me. It means to beat black and blue. To smite is to cause bruises. To, like a boxer, one buffets his body, handles it roughly, disciplines by hardship. He says, I have a cause. I'm not fighting. I'm not just beating the air. I beat up on myself. I bring my personal desires into subjection to the will of God. He keeps under. This is a special service tonight because we are promising to be faithful and true to Jesus, even if sometimes we have to be a little hard on our flesh. We have to keep it under. We have to bring it into obedience to how Christ showed us to bring it into obedience. And we look unto Jesus, the one who planned this all, the one who is going to give us the grace, and the one who can help us finish to go through our day-to-day experiences. Did you ever think how hard it must have been on Jesus to stay true to his mission here on earth? To stay true the whole way to the end? He put faith in shoe leather. He put his faith and trust in God into example for us. It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured. He despised the shame. He counted it as insignificant. It didn't matter what people around him were saying that he did. Totally untrue, maybe partially true, misrepresented. And he took it all. He took it all because he had a joy up ahead. He had an evening like this in his mind where there is going to be young people baptized into his kingdom and promised to stay true to him the whole way to the end of their life, however long that is. Jesus kept true to his faith. He could have called 12 legions of angels. Oh, he had Peter there with his sword ready to help defend. But he used none of it. The reason we have a special baptism service is to visually draw a line in the sand that the past is past. Egypt and its pleasures are behind us. God and his rewards are ahead of us. And all the twists and turns that are in between, God knows all about. God has them monitored. And victory is available for us because we have Jesus is not just an author, but he is a finisher of our faith. He's the one who didn't just bang his head against a tree to be a part of God's kingdom, but he is one that stretched out his hands and left them put nails through them and was nailed to a tree to provide redemption. Because it was part of being a finisher of the plan for you and I. Young people tonight, Devon, Jared, Caitlin, Felicia, you can say your vows with confidence because Jesus is going to help you finish them. You're not going to finish them on your own strength. All you have to do is bring what faith you have at the moment, however small it is, and Jesus will help you finish what he has authored in your life and used to bring you to this point. And by the grace of God and the aid of the Holy Spirit, you can say true to the promises you make tonight. May God bless you.